Continue our sermon series looking at the three books of wisdom in the Bible, and this week we consider Living with Integrity with the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar of St. James. Our readings are taken from Proverbs 2, verses 6 to 11, 10, verse 9, 11, verse 3, and 12, verse 1, followed by Philippians 2, verses 12 to 18. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
I'm going to be reading a selection of God's wisdom provided through the book of Proverbs, selected for our theme, which is living with integrity. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in the store, he holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose way of life is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For his wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. The integrity of the upright guides. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. This is the word of the Lord.
The next reading comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. It's immediately preceded by Paul stirring him about how Jesus did not stand on his equality with God, but humbled himself to death, and how God has exalted him, and one day all creation will bow to him and glorify God the Father. Therefore, Paul continues, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. I'm going to start with something slightly different, but it's still, I think, within the theme of integrity, in the sense of it's exploring. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to explore stewardship, and usually we do that to help the church understand how we spend your money, the stewardship of money. But we also want to introduce the idea we are also stewards of our gifts and talents and experiences, and how God might call you to have some of those gifts, talents, experiences used within the ministry of the church. So we've done a little leaflet, and you will find them on the round table at the back. And it's all the volunteering opportunities, most of them. We couldn't put everything. As you see, you've heard about street pastors and all the kind of mission partners that we have in the local. They're not here. But that's the main ministries that we do on a Sunday or during the week. So here it is. It's a Z fold. Now, I know that it's not the common fold. I've been told that normally we fold it inside. I'm very sorry. But it's because it's a bit easier to fill it. So it's a Z fold. So you open it like an accordion, you know, like shoop. There we go. And then you get this page. And it says about us. And then you go through the teams, the praise team, children team, youth team, welcome team, hospitality team, the flower team, the prayer team, the pastoral team, the tech and comms teams, premises team, school team, and others. And others. What's that all about? Now, each has a little explanation, and not all teams are kind of fully formed. So, for example, the pastoral teams, we really have a heart to form a visiting pastoral team, because a lot of pastoral care happens with the life group, with many other groups, but the need to see people or to have a call or to send a card. And for example, the youth team also, it's just at the beginning. We have Steve and Karen who are taking our young people for a social once a term, but we want to grow that team. So some are well established, some are kind of growing, but the other means maybe you can think about, you know, you've had kind of a passion for something to happen in the life of the church, and you want to explore that with the leadership. So that's your also opportunity to say what it is. Maybe you see a need. So what to do? It says, what now, when you open on the other side. There we go. Well, most important is pick one and pray. Now, you might be already in a team and you feel very comfortable and you think this is the place, you know, where God has called me, and that's fine. You might not be sure. You might be, and you've been quite a long time and you want to maybe explore something else. You know, pick one of those, or you're relatively new. You've joined us, or you're not really in a team, and you said, actually, I have a little bit of time. Pick one of those, read, pray, and then fill the response form, which is, you have two choices. You have two choices. First choice and second choice. So a team that really sparked your interest, and describe why. And then, very, very important, I think, is that you bring a lot of things that I don't know. Your career, your experiences, you know, what you've studied, you bring that. So there is also a bit here to say about you, about the kind of experiences that you have, the things you might think is useful for the church. For example, you love numbers. Be careful, you might end up to become our treasurer. No, something like that, you know? You're just passionate about numbers and charts and things like that. So, it will be introduced again in the weeks to come, but they're at the back. Pick one up, and then there is a box. When you filled it, you put it in the box at the back too, and a leader of that team then will be in contact if you're interested in, I don't know, like the praise team, the person who's in charge that will be in contact, and you have a conversation. It doesn't mean it's not a commitment. It might mean, you know, when you get more information, you say, I'm not sure. But at least you get that conversation, you can explore, you can pray about it. So, living with integrity is kind of expressing your purposes, you know, what God has for you within the life of the church, but also within the life of the community. So, a theme is living with integrity, and we're looking at wisdom books, and we're looking at particularly in the Old Testament, the three main wisdom books, which is Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job, with also the Psalm. And today, we're going back to Proverbs, and it's going to be the last time we look at some of those Proverbs. It's so rich, it's really, I encourage you, maybe during Lent, to actually go through the book of Proverbs, if you haven't done so already at the start of this series. And at the heart of that book is the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we're not talking here about being scared of God, as he's someone dangerous that we just need to be scared and obey without thoughts. It's more about being full of awe and respect and trust. That God knows. God is God. God speaks truth. God is good. He wants life for us. And so when he says, the way to live life is this, you trust him, you engage with him. It's like a way, the way we would respect a loving parent or a wise teacher or a good mentor who we know has the best in mind for us. So when we truly understand God, actually we want to follow him, to listen to him, to follow his guidance, to make choices that align with his truth and his purposes. That's the kind of fear. That's the beginning of real wisdom. And so for the author of Proverbs, it helps us live well. And in particular, with the theme of today, it helps us to live with integrity. So for this theme, I want you to meet Tom. Meet Tom. And we're going to see how to be Tom. You might say, what is he talking about? Well, Tom is the Hebrew word for integrity. And in Hebrew, there are a few other words, but it has this idea of completeness or wholeness, integrity, uprightness, innocence. It reflects moral uprightness and sincerity, and it appears in various contexts in the Bible. It often describes a person with a pure heart, a strong ethical character, an unwavering trust in and faithfulness to God. And in contrast, it stands opposite to deception or corruption or unfaithfulness. And so in our reading in Proverbs, Tom is linked to security and stability and protection in life. We have Proverbs 10:9. He who walks in Tom, integrity, walks securely. He who perverts his way will be found out. And in the beginning of Proverbs chapter 2, God holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful one. So Tom is linked to security, stability, but also is the guiding principle for moral life, ethical life. The integrity, or Tom, of the upright guides them. But the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. You will understand what is right and just and fair, says the author of Proverbs, every good path. So a person with Tom is straightforward, without trickery or hidden motives. Wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding or discernment will guard you. Well, looking at those wisdom books, the best illustration of Tom is Job. Job and his integrity. At the start of the book of Job, we have that conversation between God and Satan, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his Tom integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. And the same themes are there, fear of God and shunning evil. Knowing God is God, his ways are good, and learning to live his way of life. And in here, integrity is tested in adversity. But the person of integrity remains steadfast, despite the challenges, despite the complications, the adversities. And maybe one of the most powerful examples in our 21st century of Tom, of integrity, of standing up for one's principles and moral value is this person, Nelson Mandela. His life exhibits great integrity in the face of great sufferings, injustice, and power. You might know he was imprisoned for 27 years for opposing apartheid in South Africa. And despite being mistreated, he refused to compromise his principles. He was offered early release several times if he would just renounce his resistance, but he refused. He believed in standing firm for justice and said, "I have walked that long road to freedom. I have taken a moment of rest, but I can only rest for a moment, for with freedom comes responsibilities." And then when he was finally released in 1990 and became the president of South Africa in 1994, many expected him to just take revenge on his oppressors. But instead, he chose forgiveness and reconciliation. And that's how he did it practically. He invited his former enemies, including his jailers, to his presidential inauguration. He chose unity over division, forming a government that included members of the previous apartheid regime. Mandela kept F.W. de Klerk, the last apartheid-era president, as a deputy president, despite the history of opposition. And later, both of them shared the Nobel Prize for Peace together. He appointed former white officials who had once oppressed the black South African, but were willing to work towards reconciliation. General Constant Viljoen, hopefully I pronounced that well, Johan, a former apartheid-era military leader, was invited to be part of the democratic transition, preventing a potential civil war. He supported the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, where past crimes were acknowledged, but forgiveness was emphasized over vengeance. He understood that South Africa's future depended on reconciliation, not retaliation. He wore the Springboks rugby jersey, one of the most hated symbols of apartheid, to unite the nation. And finally, unlike many leaders who cling to power, Mandela served only one term as president and voluntarily stepped down. He said, "Leadership is about serving, not ruling." This is a wonderful expression, a wonderful example of Tom, integrity, where power is used for the good of others, for justice, and for building up, not self-interest or self-seeking. So how can we continue to grow and become a better Tom person? How to be a Tom person? Well, in our New Testament reading, we have a few guiding principles. Paul tells the Philippians to continue to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. The same idea of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. With fear and trembling, not, you know, being scared of God, but recognize that God is good. Not when he is with them, but also when he is away. And that's so important, that our walk with God is not just when people see us, but more importantly, when no one is watching. Integrity means doing what is right, even when no one is watching. True character is revealed not when the world is looking, but in the moments when we stand alone. A person of integrity chooses truth over convenience, righteousness over shortcuts, and faithfulness over compromise, because their standard is not set by people, but by God. Pretend you didn't see number three. There you go. Paul reminds them that God gives them the desire and the strength to do what is right. God is working in you. So imagine a potter shaping a lump of clay. The clay doesn't form itself into a beautiful vase by trying harder. It must be molded by the potter's skilled hands. And if the clay resists, it remains rough and misshapen. But when it surrenders to the potter's touch, it becomes something strong, useful, and beautiful. Living with integrity is about letting God shaping you, letting God shaping your hearts. When we surrender to Him, He transforms us from the inside out, making us whole, just as a potter crafts clay into a masterpiece. No complaining or arguing, Paul says in the church in Philippi. Imagine two travelers setting out on a long journey through the desert. Along the way, both face the same challenges: scorching heat, rough terrain, and limited water. The first traveler complains constantly, "This is unfair. The road is too hard. I deserve better." His negativity drains his strength, making the journey even more difficult. The second traveler, though wary, chooses a different attitude. "The road is tough, but I'm grateful for every step forward. I may be thirsty, but at least I have some water. This journey is shaping me." His gratitude gives him strength to press on, and he finds joy even in the struggle. Integrity isn't just about doing the right thing. It's about having the right heart and the right attitude. Paul then encouraged them to be blameless and pure, like Job. "Fear the Lord and shun evil." And that was how God described him. He was blameless and upright, standing out in a world that doesn't always follow God's ways. And finally, Paul says, even if his life is poured out like a sacrifice, he rejoices. I wonder what went through Mandela's mind for 27 years. Integrity means staying faithful, even when it's difficult, and finding joy in doing what is right. So what does it mean for us today? How can we become better Tom? We call to live truthfully, whether someone is watching or not. We call to rely on God's strength to help us to do what is right and to surrender. Those with integrity will shine and make a difference in our world. And even when it's hard, we can find joy in doing the right thing. And maybe the best way I can end today is to go back to Nelson Mandela, one of his most powerful quotes linked to integrity. He says, "I have walked the long road to freedom. I have tried not to falter. I have made missteps along the way. But I have discovered the secret that after climbing a great hill, one only finds that there are many more hills to climb. I have taken a moment here to rest, to steal a view of the glorious vista that surrounds me, to look back on the distance I have come. But I can only rest for a moment, for with freedom comes responsibility, and I dare not linger, for my long walk is not ended." For those who are doing Lectio 365 at the moment, there is this verse from the psalm, and I thought it would be a good way to just reflect. I will read each sentence slowly and let us allow God to speak to us. "Search me, God, and know my heart. test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.